All right, we'll start at the top of Nunchet Amud Aleph. Just continuing from the Mishnah yesterday, according to the Mishnah Rishona, the woman's entitled to Truma after 12 months, after the Baal was Toveya her. 12 months later, if he does not take her from Nisuin, she's entitled to Truma. So we had a Machlokas in the Mishnah as far as what her entitlement when she's marrying a Kohen, what her entitlement to Truma is. Rabbi Tarfon says that he can give her everything in Truma. Rabbi Kiva says that it has to be half Kohen and half Truma. The issue that the woman's facing is that she has, during her Meituma, during the time that she's in Nido, that when she's in Nido, that she can't eat Truma, and therefore she would have to sell the Truma to make it into Chulin. So, Amar Abaye, on top of the Chenamanav, but the two dots, Amar Abaye, Machlokas, Bevat Kohen LeKohen, the Machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah about how much Truma to give her, whether it's half Truma, half Chulin, or totally Truma, that's only with the Bat Kohen to a Kohen. Because why? Because she has experience with Truma, so she knows how to deal with Truma, she knows how to deal with Truma during her time of Tuma. But when it comes to a Yisrael, Bat Yisrael, who's now going to marry a Kohen as her first experience with Truma, there we say half Chulin, half Truma, because she doesn't really know what to do, and therefore we give her Chulin for her Yemei Tuma. That's only when she is an Arusa that we have a Kohen here, meaning that a Bas Kohen that is marrying a Kohen, right, when she is an Arusa, then we say that she can go ahead. He gives her full Truma according to Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because her father's house, meaning that she's still connected, or she's still living somewhere near her father's house, and he can take care of selling the Truma off for her to provide Chulin when she needs Chulin. Aval b'nisua divrei akol mechsa Chulin mechsa Truma. But when the Baal gives him mizonos in his house, for somehow it's a setup where he's feeding her, he's setting up some way where he's going to give her money to eat or food to eat, then it has to be mechsa Chulin and mechsa Truma, because now she no longer has her brother or father to help her sell off the Truma to provide Chulin for herself. So Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brisa that says a similar thing. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Notin La Kol Truma. Right, so the similar to our Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon says that you give her a Truma. Rabbi Kiva Omer Mechsa Chulin Mechsa Truma. So they're qualifying the statements here, the Bat Kohen the Kohen. That's when we have this machlokas of a Bat Yisrael the Kohen, Divrei HaKol, Mechsa Chulin, Mechsa Truma. Again, so then, what? When it's a Bat Kohen the Kohen, then that's machlokas to end. But when it's a Bat Yisrael that's marrying a Kohen, then the Bat Kohen, but the Bat Yisrael, we assume, has no experience with Truma during her Mei Tuma, where his ability to sell it. So therefore, we say that we give her half Chulin and half Truma. But Medvar Mamorim is another qualifying statement to that machlokas is Be'arusa, right? Only when she's an Arusa and her father or her brother can help her out with the excess Truma that she needs to sell off in order to buy Chulin. Abba Benesua, Diriakol, Mechsa Chulin, Mechsa Truma. So those two the qualifying statements and the Brisa are similar to the statements of Abaye qualifying the machlokas of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tei Romer, notim mashtei adot shel truma v'achat shel chulin. That we give her two-thirds truma, one-third chulin. Rabbi Yehuda mer notim la kol truma. Rabbi Yehuda says you can give her all truma. V'hi mocheret v'lokecha b'damim chulin. And then she sells off the truma to buy for herself some chulin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mer kol makom shehuzkura truma notim la kiflayim v'chulin. Anytime that she gets truma, if she's supposed to get chulin, she gets two times the amount of truma to equate to the chulin that she's entitled to. So my benayu, what's the difference between that? I mean, these different opinions. So if you have the three, we just mentioned here three opinions over here. We have Rabbi Yehuda who says that you give her a kol truma, right? So, Rabbi Tarfon says that you give her enough truma to eat kedei mizono teha, right? And then you go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see this in the Nafkamin over here. Says, I'm sorry. Let me just read it. Whether we force her to do the work to sell it off? I mean, how much effort do we make on her part to sell off the truma? Because truthfully, truma has a price in the market, but it's a cheaper price. Why? Because only Kohanim can eat it. Right, so how much effort are we going to make her to get the true price of the truma? I mean, if we give her excess truma, then she can sell it below market. It'll be easy for her to sell, and then she can get the chulin that she needs. Or, right, we can say to her, no, you have to go find the right price for truma, and we're going to make her make that effort. So that's the nafkamina between these different opinions over here. So if you look in Rashi, there's a Rashi over here, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, notin la kol truma. Right, ben Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Tarfon Iko. There's a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon. Right, Rabbi Tarfon in our Mishnah said what? That you get a kol truma. And then we had here, Rabbi Yehuda just said the same thing, that what? A kol truma. So what's the difference between them? Either Rabbi Tarfon Savar, Nogin La Truma Kadez Mison Ota. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you give her a truma, the amount of truma that she needs to eat, meaning the food, the amount of food she needs to eat, which means that she's going to really have a deficit. Why? Because if you make too much, you're going to sell it, she won't be able to buy enough chulin to replace it, right? Right? They're not going to add up to the amount of money she needs to buy for chulin. Sure, you carry him, they're much more expensive in a truma. So he gives her excess, meaning a cold truma gives her excess truma enough that it will equate to chulin for that period of time. So even according to Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yehuda, both say you give her entirely truma, there's a difference in their opinion of how much truma you give her, right? According to Rabbi Tarfon, you give her the amount of truma she would eat, and then she basically has a deficit during the days she needs chulin. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you give her enough truma so that when she sells it, she'll have the equivalent chulin to eat during that period of time. About Torch Mechira Mutawala, but she's got to sell it off. But McCartney will take the other chulin. So now, the other two opinions, Rashi says, nothing like Truma Kifayim Bechulin, because Sarva Lo Machrachinin La Mokra Bishovia. We don't make her sell it, right, according to its true value. Nothing like Truma Harbet. We give her a tremendous amount of Truma, because she didn't end up result that she can what? Sell it off cheaply. Even himself, a little Kuchim Harbet, she'll find buyers. So, Ika Beinayu Tircha Ben Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Shimon. That'll be the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, right, is whether how much truma that we give her, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda says you give her all truma, Rabbi Tarfon says you give her all truma, and Rabbi Shimon says you give her all truma, just you give her two times the amount of chulin of truma. So the difference between all these opinions is how much excess truma do you give? Rabbi Tarfon says you give her truma, the amount of food she would eat, and then there's a deficit between the amount of truma that she'll sell off and the chulin she'll want to eat during her Yemei Tuma. That's her problem. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you give her enough truma that when she sells it off, she'll be able to buy the chulin she needs, but that responsibility of selling it off is hers. And then, right, that effort is going to be on her, is going to be on her part. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, also she gets enough truma, but she gets so much truma that it will ease the effort of selling it off. She'll be able to sell it off super cheap. Right, and there'll be tons of buyers for it because it'll be so cheap. She'll have a sale on truma, and then she'll be able to replace it with the chulin that she needs. Again, the question is, how much effort do we make the woman make once he gives her truma in these instances? All right, a yavam eino machil b'truma. So this we discussed yesterday. Also, that the yavam does not feed in truma, meaning that once the husband, according to Rashi, once the husband passes away, right, the yavam does not feed her truma. According to Tosfos, this is a case where what? It's prior to the 12-month period, meaning that the husband never did feed her, and the yavam took over for that first 12-month period. So my time up, this is what we quoted last week, kinyan kaspo amar rachmana, right, that the kohen feeds truma to someone who's kinyan kaspo, b'hai kinyan da'akivu. This is not his, right, kinyan kaspo, this is not his kinyan, this is the kinyan of his brother. Right, so Kinyan Achivu. So Rashi just points out, B'chi Mais, when he dies, Pakolei Kinyano. Right, then the Kinyan goes away. I mean, the original Kiddushin that were done by the first brother, the one who married her, right, that goes away when he dies. So then Rashi has to point out that just like, but then what do we do? Then how, if there's no Kinyan Kaspo, then how does he eat Truma when the Yavam does marry her? He has Nisuin with her. How does he feed her Truma? The whole limud for feeding a woman Truma, for feeding an Ebed Truma for a Kohen is Kinyan Kaspo. If Rashi's saying when he dies, the husband dies, the Kinyan Kaspo goes away, then how does he feed her Truma? So Rashi says that, well, Kedushin can be done in different ways. Kedushin can be done through Shtar, Bia, and Kesef, and they all work the same way. So how does the Yavam create Nisuin with his intended, right, with his brother's wife? He does it through Bia. That Bia will create not only Nisuin, but also function as a Kiddushin, in order to have her become his wife, as well as Kinyan Kashpo to feed her Truma. Okay, it's just a little point of Rashi. All right, Osko Shishu Chadoshim Bifnei Abal. She does 6 months with the husband, and then 6 months with the Yabba. So then, after that, the Mishnah noted, we noted this inconsistency in the Mishnah yesterday, where it says 12 months, it says 12 months minus a day with the Baal, and 1 day with the Yabba. So Mar says, Hashim Bifnei Abal Amart Lo Bifnei Al Yabba Mi Boy. The Mishnah is adding on these cases. It goes through three different cases there, right? Which was, she does 12 months minus a day with the Baal, 1 day with the Yabam, then 6 months with the Yabam, 6 months with the Baal, and then it does another case which seems an extraneous, not necessary case here, which is 12 months before the Yabam minus a day and 1 day with the Baal. If 6 months already she doesn't do it, then why do you need the case of the 12 months? It says, Zubin Tarakamur Zuktani. It says the sequencing in the Mishnah that this is true, not only is this true, but this is also true, but not that it's a Chiddush, right? But you know, this is true, and therefore it's obvious that the next case is true. That's just a start in the Mishnah. Alright, Zumishnah Rishona. This is the first case in the Mishnah, what, that after 12 months she gets to eat Truma. But we said at the end of the Mishnah that the Beis Din Achareim came and said that she does not get Truma until she does Nisuin, until they have Nisuin. So what happened? My time up. So Amar Ula, Vitema Rav Shumo Bar Yehuda Mishum Simpom. It's because, what, he might not find her, he might find some Mumim in her, and that will make it into a Mechach Taos, make the Kedushet Taos. If it's Kedushet Taos, she's not entitled to eat Truma, and we'll find that she was a Zara eating Truma, which is a punishment of Misa B'day Shemayim, so we don't want that to happen. So now, Mishum Tzimpon, who said that before? We had two opinions before about what the problem was, why when she's a, in Kedushin, or a Rusin, but not in a Suya yet, that she, what? Does not get Truma. Ula said it was because what? Because maybe she'll give it to her brother or father, right? And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said it's Mishum Tzimpon. So over here we have two possibilities of who's saying it's Mishum Tzimpon. Either Ula, who said by Kiddushin it was a problem by brother and father, and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says Tzimpon, like, just like he said by when she was in Arusa. So now the Gemara says, Bishlam of the Ula. According to Ula, the two stages of the Mishnah make sense. Kamaisa, by the reason they didn't feed in Arusa until the 12 months were up, was why? Shem Yimazgula, because Bevetavia, right? Because maybe she'll give some of it to her father or to her brother, and that was the problem, because she's living by her father's house. Ubat Raita, and afterwards, when they made the Beis Din Achareim came and said, not only is it a problem of giving to her brother and her father, but it's also a problem for what? Mishum Simpon. So that extended the problem beyond the time of the 12 months. Even when he's Yamiakim her Abayus, right? That's what we said yesterday. He gives her a special place. He'll feed her Truma over there. That'll only help the Gabay feeding her brother and father. But the Gabay will be a Mechach Tos, it being a mistake, meaning that if she has Mumim, it won't be any good. That won't help. So therefore, we wait until Nisuin. That we understand the two stages. El the Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamais Mishum Simpon, or Vice Versa Mishum Simpon. What are you going to do? The original problem, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, was what? That maybe he'll find a mum. That's why we don't give it to her while she's a arusa. Right? But then when she reaches the point of Nisu, we say that he checked her out. He used his relatives, his krobub, to check her out. And once he checked her out, he'll accept whatever is there. So why then afterwards did the Beis Din Achareim come and say there's another extended problem of Simpon that we can't even, when she's in it, he reaches the 12-month period, she's not allowed to have Truma. So Mishum, but right to Mishum Simpon, my Benayu, what's the difference? Iku Benayu, B'dikas Chutz. Marasavra B'dikas Chutz, Shema B'dika. B'dikas Chutz doesn't mean an outside, but a third party check. Right? I mean that, what do we say, the reason that after 12 months she was able to have Truma according to the first part of the Mishnah was why? Because her is, Rashi says, B'dikas Chutz, Shabbat Ko B'yad Ko Botav. He used his relatives to check her out, right? He has other women that were able to check out to make sure that she doesn't have any mumim that he'd be upset about. So what, that, do we rely on that third party to check? That's the difference between them. The first, when the original Beis Din, our Mishnah Rishona said what? That type of check is sufficient. And therefore, she's only restricted from having Truma until she reaches the end of 12 months. Once she's reached the end of 12 months, then he would have checked her out and he could feed her Truma. The Mishnah Batreza says, no, that's not enough. Because what? He's the one who's going to marry her in the end. And you can never rely. Other people have different views on things and different opinions and different ways of looking at things. And therefore, when he uses a third party to check her out, that won't be sufficient. And that will prevent her from getting Truma even after that 12-month period until she is absolutely a Nisua. Okay, new Mishnah. So this has to do with what we discussed earlier in the Masechta a couple of times about the Masa Yadayim of the woman, right? She Masa Yadel, whatever she produces is what Tachamit, the husband has control over it, right? He gets that. Why? Because it's Mizono Tel, he feeds her Mizonos. So here's the Mishnah says, Hamakdish Masa Yadei Ishto, one who is Makdish, his wife's, right, production, whatever she produces, he's Makdish, Harizu Oso Ve'Ochelet. She continues to do it, meaning that Ve'Ochelet, she can make a choice of, number one, not to accept his Mizonos, then go ahead, use her production, and buy her own Mizonos. But because of that, what does that mean? That means that the husband does not have full control over her production. If he doesn't have full control over her production, he cannot be Makdish it to the Mikdash. Right, one of the requirements for being Makdish to the Mikdash is Balus, that you actually own, right, meaning that you have control, and ownership. And over here, you have a lack of ownership because she's able to take it away from him. So he doesn't have full control or ownership over this. Right? How Mozar, now what happens, we're going to see later on in the parak about how much is considered for the normal production of a woman that we say is talking about now. Mozar, that which is in excess of that production, right? The husband is also entitled to Takat Ma'al Kesef. He gives her an allowance every week. He gives his wife an allowance to buy her stuff. So he gets this excess production in exchange for this Ma'al Kesef. So Amothar, Rabbi Meir, Omer Hekdesh. Rabbi Meir says it works to become Hekdesh. Rabbi Yochanan Tana Omer Chulin. That does not become Hekdesh, but remains Chulin. That again, the husband does not have control. We'll see in the Gemara why this is. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Yechola Isha Lomar Labala, Eini Nizonit, Ve'eni Oseh. A woman has the choice to decide what? Whether she gives up her Maisa Yadeha to her husband, right, in order to get Mizonos, or she can say, you know what? I'm going to keep my Maisa Yadayim, and I'll feed myself. Don't feed me. That the choice is the woman's choice, not the husband's choice, which means what? Kasavar Kitakinu Rabbanu Mizone Ikar, that the benefit, the Ikar Takan is to benefit the wife, that she should have Mizonos. Umasa Yadoa Mishum Eva. So since we imposed on the husband to provide her with Mizonos, we say her production should go to the husband, otherwise he's going to get upset. Now she's both dead or producing her own stuff, plus I'm beating her? That doesn't make sense. Therefore we said what? Who's in control here? The Takan is for the woman. So the woman's in control. She can make the decision. Either she says, you know what, I'll give you my production and I'll take Mizonos from you, or she can say, I'll keep my own production and I'll get Mizonos. She can make that decision to say, I will not take your Mizonos, and I won't produce for you. So based on that, I will explain our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah then will make sense, that when he was Makdish, Maisi Yadeha, the production of her hand, it doesn't work. Why? Because he doesn't have control. It's in her control to make the decision whether she gives up the production or not. She can make that decision at any point. She can decide whether she wants to give the production to him or not give the production to him and take Mizonos. Right? That transaction is in her hands.
And therefore, if she controls it?
Therefore, when he's Makdish it, and when he gives it to Hekdesh, the Mikdash, so he doesn't have control. It's not his to make that decision.
Including the Mosa.
No, not the Moser yet. Right? The Moser we're going to deal with later on in the daf today, but the Moser right now, it's interesting, the Tosfos read, if you look down below, the Tosfos read actually points out your point, which is that the only reason a woman would not give up her production for, meaning that she would say, I don't want to give my production to you because of Mizonos, is because of the Moser. Meaning that she has to be producing in excess
right,
of what the value is.
Why am I going through this energy?
Right, why would I say to him, you know what, I won't take Mizonos, I'll keep my Maisa Yadayim. That's only when she has an excess of what would be the equivalent of the Mizonos. And so right. The Tosfos Rid says that's only in a case, right, where the Mosar would be hers. I mean, that's the benefit she would have, that's the excess that she would have. He says it down here, if you look at the third wide line in the Tosfos Rid, he says, Perish l'hai tzivoro, point to this reading, afilu ota motar she'osa yeter ala mizonotah. That excess that she does above her mizonos, hushalah, that belongs to here. Dim lo'achi, my mirvacha isha b'kach. Then what's the benefit of the woman saying, I'm going to keep my maisa yadayim? Right? I mean that the whole benefit of her saying, I'm going to keep it, it's in the third wide line. I don't know if you can see it. It's in the middle of the third line. There's a period in the third wide line in the Tosfos Rid. Down, if you can see it, there's a period there. Perish. You see that? Perish, the high svaro. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, Tosfos Rid. Yours is
okay.
Set up differently on the page there. It's but if you don't, if I find it's probably a little, yeah, the Paris Lahai Sparrow.
Uh huh.
You found it? Paris Lahai Sparrow?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Perish Lai Svar, Apila Ota Motar, Osa Yeter al Mizonotet, that excess she does about her Mizonos, Hushala, has to be hers, Dan Lohaki, Marmir Bekadisha Bakak. Then what's her decision to give up her, not give up her Yemaisidam and keep them? So he thinks that the Mosna belongs to the woman as well. Right, according to this Shita, according to Rav Huna Shita, he thinks not only if she decides not to give up Mizonos, give up her Maisi Daim from Zonos, she gets not only her Mesayim Daim, but the Motar, because that's the only reason she would do such a thing. And therefore they both belong to her, according to the Shitakos' read in this case. Alright, so now the Gemara is going to challenge this position of Huna, that what? That it's up to the woman. So the Gemara says, well, made today, is this really true? Tiknu Mizonos, Takat Masi Yadel. They gave her Mizonos, Takat Masi Yadel, which means what? That really the Maisi Daim were what her husband was entitled to. And in order to pay her back for that, they gave her Mizonos, which sounds what? The Ikar was the Masi Yadayim, that she had to give it up. So where it says, Ema, no, amend the Mishnah, amend this Brisa to read like this, Tiknu Masi Yadayim, Takat Mizonos, to read the opposite way. What? That's really the Masi Yadayim were in exchange for the Mizonos. So the Ikar was that he had to give feed her, and then in order to pay him back, they gave her the Masi Yadayim, or because of Ema, they gave him the Masi Yadayim. So lema misayuli. So let's say that what? Our Mishnah is a support to this statement of Rabbi Yehuna. Why? Hamakdish ma'asa yudei ishto har yosa v'ochelet. One who's makdish, his wife's output, right? She can make a decision to what? To keep her output and eat, which means that he doesn't have control. It's not hekdish. My love, in his own it, is it in a case where what? That he is feeding her? And nevertheless, we say what? Her ma'asa yudem are not hekdish. Why? Because she can pull the plug at any time. So lo, b'she'enin is on it. No, the case in our Mishnah is when she's not getting fed by her husband. So the Gemara says, Yishe b'enin is on it, ma'ila memra. What's the chiddush? If she already said to her husband, I'm not going to take mazonos, and I'm going to keep my masi yadayim, then certainly we know he can't be makdish. Why? Because it's hers for sure. In that case, our question was, what if he's taking the masi yadayim, and he's makdish it, does it work because she has the ability to pull the plug at any time? But maybe, right, but the case where she certainly is not giving him the Maisi Yadayim, he can't be Makdashit. So Gemara says, I feel the Manda Omer Yochol Harav Lomar Le'evet Asei Mi Be'enu Zancho. That the Chiddush is what? That even according, I mean not the Chiddush, this is part of the question, but even according to one who says that an owner can say to his Evet, come and work for me and I'm not going to feed you, even though in general, the owner's responsibility is to feed his Eved, feed his servant. He can only make that deal when it comes to a Eved Kanani, right? With the non-Jewish Eved. With that non-Jewish Eved, he can make a deal with him before he comes on. He says, I will take you on as an Eved, but I'm not going to feed you. He can make such a deal. Right? He doesn't say the word imach by him, but Ibid Ivri, when it comes to a Jewish slave, there it says, things were good with him. When he wants to stay on past the 7 years, is why? Because he's having a good time with you. What does imach mean? I mean, imach means that you can't make, that he has to be like you, that you can't what? You can't make a deal with him where he comes to work for you and he doesn't get mizonos. Automatically, he's entitled to mizonos. If that's true, the Machlok, Bechoshkin Ishto, then certainly by his wife, that's the case, right? His wife's not going to be worse than an Eved Ivri, so certainly when she comes, she's entitled to Mizonos. So the Gemara says, so what's the Chiddush here, that what? That if he's not feeding her, that she keeps her Maisa Yadayim? That's such a basic part of the relationship. So Gemara says, Seifet Strichalei Motar, we need the second half of the Mishnah, it teaches that Motar, Rabbi Meir Omer Hekdesh, Rabbi Yochanan Sanlam Chulin. That what? The second half of the Mishnah comes to teach us that what? That there is a machlokas by the motar, the excess of her production. So there's a machlokas in this. Uplige de Reish Lakish. This position will argue on the position of Reish Lakish. Why does this argue on Reish Lakish? Dama Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says, Lo tema taimid Rabbi Meir, don't say the reasoning of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah is Mishum de Kasavar Adu Makdish Dover Shalobo Leolam. Right, so what's the problem with Masa Yadeha? If he says, I am Makdish my wife's future output, right, that's something that does not exist in the world today. And in generally, we say that you can't make kinyonim or do transactions with items that don't exist today. So today, if he's being mocked as something that's in the future, for future production, right, then how is he able to do that? Rabbi Meir is in the exception. Rabbi Meir has an opinion, what, that you can be mocked as things that are, what, not in existence yet. So what you would have thought, the reason Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah that the Mosar is Hekdesh is because Rabbi Meir believes, what, you can be mocked as something in the future that even though it doesn't exist. Elataima de Rabbi Meir. The reasoning that Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah is Betoch Shiyoch Lakofa Lamasa Yadao is because he can force her to give him his or her production. He can force her to work and give her production in exchange for mizonos. Because he can force her to do that, Nasik Omer La Yikadri Adayach Lasayim. Because he can force her to do that, it's as if he said, right, that your hands are made kodesh to Hashem. Meaning that your hands are kodesh to Hashem. What does that mean? That anything your hands produce, right, are kodesh to Hashem. So let's just start. The first thing is, how do we know this argument in Reish Lakish? Meaning that the position of Rav Huna argues on Reish Lakish, because what do you see from Reish Lakish over here? You see from Reish Lakish over here that what the husband is the one who's entitled to make the decision. The husband can force her to produce in order to pay for the mizonos. Rav Huna says it's the other way around. It's the woman's decision, right? He says it's up to the woman. She can decide, I want mizonos and I'll give you my output, or I'll keep my output and don't feed me. But what does Reish Lakish say over here? That the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah is why? Because the husband can force her to produce. But that's not true according to Rav Huna. So that's what it means to pliga the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish argues on Rav Huna above, who said what? The woman's decision. Over here you see Reish Lakish saying it's the Baal's decision, it's the man's decision about whether she has to produce. So now, once he can force her to produce, what? We say that that entitlement as makes it sound like what? That if he said that he's makdish masi yadel, it's as if he said that I'm makdish her yadayim to kodesh. So Gemara says, he didn't say such a thing. What do you mean? That's if he said it. Well, came into Shmein and lay the Rabbi Meir to Omar, right? We know that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, ain't other motzi dvarav levatala, that a person never says anything in vain. Meaning that when a person says something and we say, well, if he said it this way, it would be meaningless, then we try to alter his words to make them meaningful. Because we say the guy's not, he knows that there's a problem, and he said it this way, but he really meant another thing that would make it meaningful, another explanation of his words. So that Nasika Omelet is if he said Yakach Yudaich Lilseim, that's what? It's as if he said that your Yadayim are what? Are Kodesh La Hashem. So the Shavar Rabbi Meir, let's stop here. So now Rabbi Meir's opinion is what at this point? Rabbi Meir's opinion is that you have two parts of Rabbi Meir's opinion that come through Reish Lakish. One is what? Since the husband can force her to produce in order to get the mizonos, so therefore when the husband is makdish her ma'ase yadayim, her production to the mikdash would make it hekdesh, then why does it work? It works because what? Since the husband really knows that he can't be makdish something sedover shalo bavi olam, something that's not in existence, as if he said that your dayim will be kodesh l'shem. Now, when it works like this, is when you take a neder, like such a neder, or when it functions differently, meaning that when you're makdish her production doesn't exist, that's sedover shalo bavi olam, and therefore it won't be hekdesh. But if he's makdish your yadayim, your yadayim exists right now. So he's saying, your yadayim, right? Makdish yadayim l'sayach. Your yadayim will be kodesh to your creator. So her yadayim are in existence. And therefore, anything her yadayim will do in the future will then be hekdesh because he's makdish something that is right there at the time. Something that's bali olam already. Her hands, which are bali olam, and therefore works. So the Gemara now challenges Reish Lakish's explanation of Rabbi Meir here. Why? Is Shavar Rabbi Meir, you know, don't makdish dover shalol liolam? Does Rabbi Meir really hold that you can't be makdish something that's not in existence? We know that that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Vatanya, Omer li sharet mitdeshet li, you are going to, he gives kiddushin, kesa kiddushin, to get married to her, lakashet gayer, after I convert. Oh, lakashet tit gayer, after you convert. Right, so is that's a davar shelo bali olam now. It's not in existence now. She's not a Jew, or he's not a Jew. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Meir says you can do such a kedushin. Or la'achashes tacharer, or an eved says to a woman, after I'm free, I will get married to you. Or la'achashes tacharer, or after you become free, to a shifkul kananis, after she becomes free, I'll marry you. Or la'achashes yumot balech, after your husband dies, I'll have kedushin with you. He's preempting. After your husband dies, oh shetamud achutaych, he's married to her sister, and he says after your sister dies, I'll have kedushin with you. That she's waiting for what? Her yabam to do chalitza with her. After he does chalitza, I'll be married to you. So in all these cases, can he do kedushin right now? The answer is no, because in each of these cases, one of the parties is unable to do kedushin. Yet he says, I'll do kedushin for something that will take place in the future. So you see what? Rabbi Meir Omer Mikudeshet. It works. This type of condition works. So you see that Rabbi Meir allows you to have a transaction or have a kinyan that what? Even though it's Lobo Leolam, it's not in existence today. It's not functioning today. So Gemara says, Mihoi in. You're right. From that Mishnah about Rabbi Meir by Kiddushin, we would know that what he holds, that you can't be Makdish something that's not in the world. Dabar Shalobo Leolam. Miha, from our Mishnah, you can't prove it. Like the Mashmina, because you could explain it like Rabbi Shlakish. Since you could explain it like Rabbi Shlakish, that Rabbi Meir's opinion here has to do with the way he, that the fact that the husband has control over the Maisa Yadah. Therefore, he does not, and Rabbi Meir believes when you make a neder, meaning like a neder to go to Hekdesh, that this, the production should go to Hekdesh, you wouldn't be mostly, it wouldn't be a meaningless neder, and therefore it really means that her Yadayim are not Makdish. If that's the case, it's not Dabar Shalobo Leolam. So you can't prove from this, our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir's opinion is that something that's not existence, you are Makdish. Because we have an alternative explanation for Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. That alternative explanation is his view in the Nedarim. His view in the Nedarim is that what? That when somebody makes a neder, we're always going to try to find a way to make it meaningful. So in this case, Rish Lakish believes in our Mishnah, who's the real entitlement, who's really entitled in our Mishnah? And that's the husband, because he's the one who can make the decision about Mizonos or no Mizonos, Maisa Yadayim or no Maisa Yadayim. Since he has control, when he's Makdish it, he wouldn't say something meaningless. And since he wouldn't say something meaningless, we try to alter his words to say it's as if he said her hands are Mukdash. If her hands are Mukdash, then that is Davar Shabali Olam, and we can't prove that other opinion of Rabbi Meir from our Mishnah, because we have an alternative explanation, which we just went through for the Mishnah in Rabbi Meir's opinion. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, some of these cases are just so... How can a shavua of a person who is not Jewish wearing...
Tosas asked a little bit of what you're saying.
I understand about the chalit to be, if you're from the...
Right, so here, so Tosas asked, if you look quickly, we'll look at this Tosas quickly, a couple minutes here, the Akashi, it's Gayer, right? So Tosas asked your question a little bit. He says, if you look at the second line, Adafilu Rabbi Meir Damar Dabar Adamaka Dabar Shul Boliolam. So he can be Makne, he can have a kinyan on something that doesn't exist. Hani Mili Dabar Shuhu Ba'olam. That's for something that has, what? Some existence in the world. Meaning that it has, so again, if you have a, like for instance, like you're saying a Yavam and Chalitza, so here, this person has a possibility of Kinyan, right? So that's a possibility of a Dabar Shlo Bola Olam, right? But that's from someone who does not exist yet, meaning that, for instance, a fetus. A fetus can't make a Kinyan. Even though Rabbi Meir says you can make a Kinyan on things that don't exist, a person, the Makne, the one who's making the Kinyan, has to exist. All right, in this case, Mahala Akashid Gayer, I'm the Dabar Shlo Bola Olam. A person is saying, after I am, it's Gayer, after I convert, right, he doesn't exist today. In terms of a Jew, right, in terms of his ability as a Jew to be making Kinyan, to have Kinyan Kedusha, he doesn't exist. So, Ve'omeri, La Akashid Gayer, Lo Chashiv Kolkach Dabar Shlo Bola Olam. That why? Since he's a human being already, since he already exists, he's just mentioning a little technical thing. He's just mentioning this. Gerus, he exists in the world. He just is missing a little change, which is that he'll become a ger. It's not like a fetus that doesn't exist at all. Somebody who will be born in the future has never existed in the world. At least this guy, right, he is here. This guy is here. He's just not a Jew yet. But that's a little step that we can make him into a Jew. Someone's not born if someone doesn't exist at all, and therefore you can't make a person doesn't exist at all cannot make a Kinyan. So that's how Tosfos tries to reconcile a little bit, I think, what you're asking about. Here these people are not right within the realm of Kinyanim right now. So Tosfos says, right, you're right, even though they're not in the realm of Kinyanim, since they exist in the world, that's already Dabar Shabali Olam. That's already something that exists and can make a Kinyan. They're missing, they have a little, they have one item that's missing from them, either a Gerus or a death or something like that, that will help them along. But when you have somebody who's not born at all, then you can't say they can be Makner or make a Kinyan because they don't exist at all. Okay, ready to finish up the Gemara. Motar, so this deal with what you were asking before. Motar, Rabbi Meir, Omer Hektish. Eimat Kodesh. When does the excess production of her hands become Kodesh? And especially according to the Tosfos Reed, where she can make a decision to say what? Any Nizonis, that I don't take any food from you, and I keep my Maisa Yadayim, that according to the Tosfos Reed, not only is she entitled to her Maisa Yadayim, she's also entitled to the excess. So when he's Makdish it, what does it mean Eimat Kodesh? When does it become Kodesh? That's only after she dies. Whatever excess production she had after she dies, her husband inherits that. Since her husband inherits it, that's what will be Kodesh, that which comes to him after Misa. Right, Rabbi Adar Abram, where Motar Michayim Kodesh. Even that when she's alive, that when she's Makdish, she becomes Kodesh. Now you have to explain them. Havi Bara Papa. Rabbi Papa says, well, he was, you know, in wonderment about this. I mean, that, how do we deal with these two opinions? Bamai, what's the case here? Ilema Bamalalam is Onos, if he's feeding her, Umalalam Al-Kesif, and he's giving her her allowance for the week, Litzarchea, my time and demand, Amalacha Misa Kodesh. Then what's the reasoning for Reverend Shmuel's opinion that what? That only after her death can he be Makdish it here, what? He's getting all our mizonos now, and he's getting the excess now. Why can't he be back to see it while she's still alive? Ella, shkain malala mizonos. No, it's a case where what? He's not giving her mizonos, v'lo malala mokesef, and he's not giving her allowance. So in that, the tzarcha, my time, it's my time at Amar Man Chaim Kodesh, the Kadosh. What's the reason, according to one who says, while she's alive, it's Kodesh, right? Because if he's not feeding her, and he's not giving her allowance, then her Maisi Adayim belongs to her, and the Mosar, the excess, belongs to her. So we can't understand either of these opinions depending on the situation, right? If she is giving up her production and her excess production in order to get her food and to get her Malkes of her allowance, then it really belongs to the husband. If it belongs to the husband, then why can't he make it Kodesh on the time that he's right for Mekhayim when she's still alive? Now, if you say it's the other way around, he's not feeding her and he's not giving her allowance, and her production belongs to her, and her excess production belongs to her, then how do you explain the opinion that what? That it's during her lifetime he gets it. It only should be after she dies that she gets it. So it doesn't make sense either side. So he says, oh, must be the case, is what? He is feeding her, but he's not giving her allowance. So he's feeding her, but not giving her allowance, which means Rabbi Shmuel Savrei Tiknu Mizonos Takat Masa Yadeha. Rabbi Shmuel believed what? That the exchange was, if he feeds her, he gets her production. Umal Kesef Takat Motar, and when he gives her an allowance, he gets her excess production. So if that's the case, if he's not giving her the ma'a kesef, he's not giving her the allowance, then he's not entitled to her excess production. It came to the law, you ma'a kesef, since he's not giving the allowance, motor dido, it belongs to her. And therefore, he can only remak this shit after her death, right? Whatever's left over after her death, that he inherits, and that he can be makdish, right? Happy. Rav Adar Abba says thinks the opposite. Tiknu mizonos takan motar. She gets mizonos after because of her excess production. Uma kesef and the allowance takan masiyadev for her what? Her regular production. So came to Yavila Mizone, since he's giving her mizonos, then he is what? Motar didayavi. Then the excess production belongs to him. Since it belongs to him, then what? Then he can be makdishit even when he's alive. So, what are they arguing about? What is Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Rabbi arguing about in terms of what is the exchange? Right, Rav and Shmuel say the exchange is mizonos for production, allowance for excess production. Rabbi Rabbi says the opposite. Mizonos are for the excess production, and what? Allowance is for the regular production. So why are their opinions formed? So Marsavar Mide Dishkiach Mimide Dishkiach. Rav and Shmuel say what's the most common thing? Mizonos, feeding her, right? Getting her food. And what else is common is her regular production. So the Chamim made regular production in exchange for mizonos. And they made excess production for the allowance, which are unusual things, right? Marsavar Mide Dekayitz Mimide Dekayitz. No, Rabbi Adar Abba believes what? There's a fixed, we go after fixed amounts, which is fixed. Her production is a fixed amount. Ma kesef, her allowance, that's a fixed amount. Right? The Mishnah later on is going to tell us how much she has to produce. That's a fixed item. Her allowance is a fixed item, so we exchange a fixed item for an fixed item. Mizonos, we said this earlier, have in kitzvah. There's no limit. They can be unlimited how much mizonos she gets. And same thing with mosar. The excess production also could be unlimited, so those are in exchange for each other. So therefore, that's what forms the opinion of Rav Adar Abba and Rav Shmuel. What exchanges for what? Based on what is exchanged here, then we set up the case in our Mishnah that what? The case in our Mishnah is going to be where she gets mizonos, right? But she's not getting her allowance. Since she's getting mizonos, according to Rav and Shmuel, that means he's getting her production, but not her excess production, therefore he can't be makdish her excess production until after death. According to Rav Adababa, in that case, what? That means that he is getting her excess production exchanged for the mizonos, therefore he can be makdish it while she's still alive, but he's not getting her regular production. The question will be, according to this conclusion of the Gemara, that Tosas asks over here, what will be B'malah lemizonos ein lamar kesef. Aliba d'Rav Adarbaba mukilei hocha. He says you only have to sit up this way according to Rav Adarbaba. Al Rav Shmuel lo matzi mukilei lo b'malah lemizonos. Can't be a case where he's giving her mizonos. Why? Because we said earlier today, what if he's giving her mizonos, then he's entitled to her ma'aseh yadeh. They came to sabri de tiknu mizonos takad ma'aseh yadeh. Since they exchanged mizonos for ma'aseh yadeh, imkein amai osivo chelit. Then how do you explain the beginning of our Mishnah? If he's giving her mizonos, and he is keeping the Ma'aseh Yadayim, her production, right? Then, if he's keeping her production, then why in the first half of the Mishnah could she say, you know what? I'll make my own, and I'll keep my own mizonos, and he can't be makdishit. It's a case, he says that Rav Shmuel is going to say that he's not giving her both mizonos and ma'akesef, and then that'll explain the ratio, why can he not be makdish for Ma'aseh Yadayim? Because he's not feeding her. Why can he not be makdish according to Rav Meir? Why in the second half of the Mishnah? Why when Rav Meir says it's kodesh, it's only after her death? Is because he's not giving her allowance, so they don't have. He doesn't have entitlement to her excess production. So that's the way Tosas is going to explain it. Now, truthfully, is the first case you could explain, even if Rav and Shmuel say is a case where he's willing to give her mizonos, can be a case where she says, I don't want it. I mean, that's how we explained Rav Huna above. I mean, if they held like Rav Huna, that it's the woman's decision, could even be in a case where he says, I want to feed her, and she says, too bad, I don't want it. If she says, too bad, I don't want it, she can take ownership of her production, therefore he can't be makdish it. He can only be makdish what he owns. So if she's taking mizonos from him, and he's taking ma'aseh yadeh, right, then he can what? Then he can be makdish. Once he gets that, he can be makdish, because then it's his. But if it's going to be in the future, she can make that decision to switch it, right? And then it's in her control. He can't be makdish that in the future either, because it's davar shelo bali olam, or because he doesn't have control over it. And even if he is willing to give her mizonos, he doesn't have control over it because she can say no. It's her decision. So that's how you can explain, the Tosafot Rishonim says that, that's how you can explain Rav and Shmuel's opinion. Even when he's willing to give her mizonos, and not willing to give her the allowance, Rav and Shmuel's opinion could stand that what, since he's not giving her the allowance, he's not entitled to her excess production, and therefore he can't be makdishit until after her death, because that's when he'll control it, and here in the Prince of Mary can do it now, for after her death, because he says davar shelo bali olam, but according to our Mishnah, why can she then say, Osav Elchelet, I'll do my own production and I'll eat it, and he can't be makdishit? That's because it's still in her choice. Even though he's offering to give them his own asteris, she can say, I reject it, and I'll keep my Ma'aseh Yadayim, and therefore he can't be makdishit.
Shikar.